Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg is defending his social network against accusations that the company helped spread fake news stories in favor of Donald Trump.
I think the idea that fake news on Facebook, of which it's a very small amount of the content, influenced the election in any way, I think is a pretty crazy idea.
Zuckerberg speaking yesterday at the Techonomy conference in California, where he said there was fake news distributed on both sides. Mike Berry joins us now to take a look at the social media reaction to Tuesday's election. He's head of audience at The Guardian U.S. in New York. Hi, Mike.
Hi there. How are you doing, Peter?
Good, thanks. So Zuckerberg says it's crazy to say that fake news on Facebook played any role in the election. Do you buy that?
I do not buy that. The fundamental issue with Zuckerberg's position is that Facebook, at least the way that Facebook sees it, is a tech company. A lot of people are pushing from the outside on that and arguing that Facebook is a media company. And where this becomes really important is the fact that we have fake news and we have filter bubbles. We already know that every Facebook user is essentially their own editor for their newsfeed.
Right.
What they click on and what they interact with defines what they see and also can define what their friends see. When you take this and you essentially remove editorial standards from it, you essentially take the filter bubble that exists on Facebook and on other social platforms and you weaponize it. You turn it into essentially a way of transferring information through your personal networks because you're your own personal editor.
Right. So in your opinion, I mean, what does Facebook need to do to filter out this fake stuff or to improve the filter bubble?
Facebook needs to get braver. They need to understand that if they put down editorial standards, that isn't necessarily providing a filter. It's simply giving a rubric for people to understand the difference between what they're reading when it's true and what they're reading when it's not verifiably true.
Mm. Well, in this election, there's also Twitter. There seems to always be Twitter this election season. Donald Trump apparently got control of his Twitter account again after his advisors reportedly got him to stop tweeting in the days leading up to the vote. But again, controversy already after Trump tweeted last night that the protesters who've been marching across the country against him are being unfair. How's that playing out?
Well, it's a really interesting dynamic. We already know that the @POTUS Twitter handle is going to be handed over to President-elect Donald Trump when he becomes the president in January.
Hmm.
The question is if he's going to let go of the real Donald Trump Twitter handle. It's become an enormously powerful force for him to get his message out. The difference is that the real Donald Trump Twitter handle is that of a private citizen.
Mm.
The @POTUS Twitter handle is that of a public official. And as we know with President Obama, his tweets are going to be archived. Is Donald Trump going to use his personal Twitter handle to bypass, these kinds of public records? Is that even possible?
Do you hold out any hope that his tone will change once he gets in the White House?
I think that the proof is in the pudding, and we haven't seen much pudding yet, but the pudding that we've seen is that Donald Trump is going to be the exact same kind of communicator that he was as a candidate.
And to be fair to Donald Trump, he did come back a few hours later after this protest tweet to say that he loved the fact that a small group of protesters have such passion for the country. But I also want to talk about some other things we've been seeing buzz around on social media. There was a video of kids holding up a Trump sign in a hallway of their school in Pennsylvania. You could hear them saying white power. And on the other side, we've seen a video that appears to be from the west side of Chicago showing African Americans beating up a white man on the street. And you can hear someone in the background there yelling, "You voted Trump," which, just to me, it seems like if we needed any reminder that there was a dark side to our country right now, social media is reminding us of that.
That's absolutely true. And it's something that we see in, more traditional tragedies. What makes this different is that this isn't an attack. These are people recording specific experiences and understanding that this is a part of the new paradigm in which we live. So the question really becomes, are we going to be treating these as two competing narratives? Are we going to be talking about how there are anti-Semitic, racist, misogynistic harassment across the country and define that as a single narrative and then have a competing, equally understood narrative that there is anti-Donald Trump sentiment? That's an argument that's going on social media, throughout the press, and among regular people on a daily basis as to, how are we going to understand what is going on? What are the forces at play here? And how are we going to figure out a way to talk to each other and understand each other?
Mike Berry, head of audience at The Guardian U.S., thank you.
Thank you as well.